Hi everyone, and welcome to episode 338 of the Mighty Whites podcast. I'm Jack, as always, John back here. Say,
Nala,
how's things, mate?
Yeah, not bad. You?
Yeah, all good. I mean, any time, but we're coming off a point in London, which is a lot more than you're ever expecting. Always helps your week.
Yeah. I mean, what I've learned from all this is that I think Brentford are better than Liverpool.
Certainly
defensively.
Defensively, yes, but I thought, I mean, we'll just there's no point staying into any kind of a structure. I thought Brentford were a lot poorer than I expected them to be.
Yeah, for a team with their record at home, because they are one of the best teams at home. No, there wasn't a lot to them. Like, I didn't think. I thought they were relatively well organised, but I know we're not great, so it's fine. But I wouldn't have thought that their performance had them pretty much where they are in the league, is what I would say.
Yeah, I would have said based on what I saw of them that day, I was surprised that like they won. What was it, 5 out of 6 at home? It was 5 out of 6 or 6 out of 7.
Yeah.
And they didn't look as good as that. I know that they were missing a couple. And I wonder how much because the main miss was Kevin Schilder, wasn't it? And as good as he is, I don't think it could have made that much difference. It certainly wasn't one for the neutrals, but this season we'll take loads of them if we get results out of them.
Yeah.
We'll go for it relatively quickly. I mean, I do think we were better side over 90 minutes, but not by loads. Like, they had a fair bit of control of it in the first half, and I thought we did in the second, which is odd to, because obviously we went behind, but I did think that we had more of it than they did. Like, in the first half, Okafor had those couple of chances. The one good one when they played the ball through to him, and Kelleher made a good save. But that was was that basically the only really good chance of the first half? And it wasn't and like gilt-edged one, but it was about the best one.
It depends how you find define the many blocked shots of Anton Stach.
Yeah, he did fancy one, didn't he, in that game? Because it was quite funny, because before kickoff, I mentioned, I had him for like, what, they have him two or more in my bet builder. And like, he was on about 5 by half time.
Yeah, I really don't remember a lot about the first half. Overturned penalty.
Yeah, that's what I've got. But yeah,
that's it.
Yeah, I thought Okafor was a lot better in this game than he was against Liverpool. Which is good, because I'm assuming we'll be playing the same front two on Saturday. So it was good to see him get a little bit more involved.
Yeah, it's I definitely think a game like this was more suited to him. I think as kind of as bad a form as Konate has been in, the fact that Van Dijk was defending against Calvert-Lewin so well just meant there was very little for him to feed off. Where there was more here, and I think there was a lot more of our football was on the floor as well.
Yeah, well, I hadn't sort of we didn't go into much statistically, but Brentford like. Don't press much at all, and they are fairly direct, so you don't get you have time to have the balls off, so you don't get as many quick counters, you don't win the ball up the pitch as high, things like that. And Palace are quite similar in that vein, they're just better like throughout. But yeah, so in terms of the style of game, it might be quite similar on Saturday. You mentioned the main talking point, which was Brentford being awarded the first half penalty. Cross comes in. Ouattara does just about manage to get alongside of Goodmanson and then just chucks himself on the floor. I know Goodmanson puts his hand on him, but it's never a penalty in a million years. And to be fair to him, even the Brentford fans have been like, nah, it was never a pen. VAR rules it out, but rules it out for offside, not for it blatantly not being a penalty.
Yeah, I mean... One thing I'll say is the referee was very confident that this was a penalty. Like, he gave that very, very quickly.
Strong and wrong.
When you go back to the Nonto decision against Liverpool and how long the ref just stood staring at that area for a while. It's one of those. I'm glad it was offside, because I don't think VAR would have overturned it, because they will say you can see he makes contact, even though it's not sustained pulling, even though I don't know what sustained pulling is.
In Venice case, I have seen you with women and you aren't good at sustained pulling.
I don't think you need the word sustained.
Yeah.
Even if it's done in not the way I would have liked it, we still got to the right decision at least.
Yeah.
So hooray, it's a good VAR.
I would have been furious.
Yeah. Because there was stuff later in the game that were blatant pulls that didn't get given.
Well, we might as well mention the Calvert-Lewin one now, haven't we? Because that was the main one. Ball into it. And I mean, it just pulls him back. And I would say that's probably a penalty. If it went against Leeds, I'd be saying, he has gone down a bit easy. It's a little bit soft. But he does pull him back. It's probably a penalty. But compared to the one on Ouattara, it's a red card for violent conduct compared to the one on Ouattara. So, I wasn't as up in arms as a lot of the Leeds fans were. I even put on our Twitter, I don't know whether that's a penalty or not. It's just way more of one than one he gave. And then I've seen it and read it got posted that many times. I've seen it loads of times, and I'm now more annoyed than I was. Because the more I've seen it, the more of a penalty it looks. But it's more. It is just that he gave that first half one and then didn't give that. It's really shoddy refereeing.
Yeah, I do wonder. Part of me wonders with stuff like VAR, where anything like that ends up getting overturned. If it, even though I know strictly speaking, it's overturned for offside. If looking back, there's part of it that's like, it's a bit soft that though, and then it sort of spooks them into giving any more decisions like that.
Yeah, maybe giving him a thing of, I've fallen for a pullback.
Yeah.
And this is a pullback.
Yeah, so. But yeah, like I say, generally, outside of that, not a right lot in the first half.
No. It wasn't much of a game, this, if we're being honest. The fact that it was the main game for Super Sunday. Before the game, everyone said, bit of a weak week, this. And it did go that way. But yeah, 70th minute, Brentford go 1-0 up. Ball played by Damsgaard in behind to Rico Henry down our right. Biol gets back to clear, but he doesn't really get it cleanly. Falls to Jordan Henderson, who sort of makes a bollocks of it. It's a bit of a scuff, and it might not even be going in, and Biol throws a leg at it and deflects it in. It was also Biol that played Rico Henry onside in the first place. He was a yard and a half behind rest at defensive line. Stack gave up on his tracking of Henderson. It did actually show a good replay of that, which was crap to see as well. But I don't know if it was a shit 10 seconds from Biol or just an unfortunate 10 seconds. Being out of line with the defenders, that's poor. You should be holding your line. But he gets into the position to clear really well and sort of scuffs it. And he has to react and throw a block at it. I think that parts two and three are more unlucky.
I think I'm with you there. It's in the first instance, it is just looking across your line and seeing that you need to step up and not being aware of where the other two centre backs are.
Yeah, in the other side of it is, because as the middle one, it's the hardest for him of the three,
because
he isn't looking across at two, whereas the other two are.
It depends. Pascal Strauch had a good go at becoming a right centre back.
Yeah, he had a really good game. That one bit where he played the awful pass and then sprinted across the pitch to try and make up for it was not very good. But overall, he was excellent.
I do think it's unlucky. He does the other two bits that you want him to do. It just doesn't work out. And there's nothing Perry can do with the deflection.
No, and I think if it was just creeping in the corner, I think Perry was in a good position to save it.
No, he's got across well. that that's all he can do about it. And it's one of those, it's really frustrating because, I mean, they've come away from this game with two shots on target.
If I remember rightly, that's what it was. Yeah, I think it was something like, I'll just find them. It won't tell. I think it was that they'd had like 7 shots, 2 on target, and we had about 18 with 5 on target, maybe.
Yeah. Now, this may have changed. I haven't checked since the game. They awarded the goal to Jordan Henderson.
It is still Jordan Henderson's goal.
Which, strictly speaking, means that that's one of their shots on target.
Yeah.
Even though it...
7 and 2, 18 and 4 for Leeds.
Yeah.
For 0.7 XG for Brentford, 1.4 for Leeds.
Okay. It was disappointing because they, while it's a good move from them, they get in behind and exploit the space that's there. On the whole, they didn't do that a whole lot or really cause the back line too much of an issue. Which I suppose does also go back to the thing of, we don't give up that many chances and yet we have conceded. But I don't know with the deflection and everything, whether this is, like you say, whether it's just unlucky in that case.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose even though it came off Beall to go to him, it was a ball out wide that got played into the box and there was someone unmarked in the middle. A box crashing.
But what's different about it? It's down the right, it's not down the left.
Yeah, well, I wonder if Daniel Farke will find a way to blame it on Gabby Goodmanson. but yeah, it was, so that sort of late run from a midfielder was still there as an issue. But on this one, it wasn't. This one, it didn't look like a systemic issue where no one knew ever what. Stack just switched off for a minute. And one, even though Jordan Henderson is not fast, if you give any Premier League player 3 yards head start, unless you are Dan James rapid, you might well not catch him up. I didn't like, he did seem to pull up and give up on the chase a bit, which was the bit I didn't like. And I mean,
there's a bit where you almost see his face, it just get, bugger.
I'm too late. But if you keep running, you never know.
Hmm.
Even if it's just to run up behind him and shout "your shit" or something, just to, he probably won't put him off. But we've all done it.
Yeah.
Farke made the changes that we sort of expected. I remember we did pretty much call him dead on before he did it. Once we went behind, because the goal was in the 70th minute, so he's probably going to do something in a minute anyway. Nonto for Beall, Aronson for Tanaka goes back to back four. We kept a bit of directness, but we had a lot more of the ball at this point. Brentford did drop in a bit. And although there wasn't loads of chances, there was one good diving save that Kelleher made before the goal. But in the end, Ampadu gets the ball out to Nonto. He puts in an absolute peach of a cross. Calvert-Lewin, he doesn't just get above his marker, he's like a foot and a half above him. Really good header into the corner. And 4-4 for Calvert-Lewin.
And the articles are now, should Calvert-Lewin be in the England squad?
Yeah, he's doing well. Now, it seems a bit premature.
It's premature. But yeah, really happy for it. Like you say, it's just, I'll say it every time he does it, he's just got a fantastic leap and hang time. Mm. And it is a great header just into the far corner. Just keeps it away from Kelleher. Really nicely taken. As you said, the cross from Nonto, just to sort of whip it in, because he gets it sort of around their fullback who gives him an extra yard or so, and he just curls it in behind him. Exactly the sort of ball you want Calvert-Lewin attacking.
It was a bit higher because it was a different sort of striker, but it was very... Remember the goal Peru scored away at Sunderland in the 2-2? It was a very similar cross to that. And, you know, again, it's the sort of quality that we know Nonto's got. It's why we'd all like to see him a bit more. But in this formation, the only place he's really going to play is off Calvert-Lewin.
Yeah,
and I think he'd rather have Okafor at the minute because he's got that little bit more. I know he isn't great in the air, but he's got that bit of height and stuff like that. And if we're going long, as Perry can't really be relied on to get his kicks right every time, if it goes to the other side and it's Nonto versus a big centre half,
yeah,
he'll have a go because he doesn't shirk stuff, but it's unlikely to stick. Obviously, going in, if you'd have offered me a point at Brentford, I'd have snapped your hand off with their home record. But coming away from it, should we have got more?
I don't know. I don't think we've probably done enough there to win it, if I'm being honest. I don't think the quality of the chance, even that, you know, it's four shots on target. It's, I know the XG is not bad, but
it's 1.4 to 0.7.
Yeah.
Like if you're rounding, it's 1-0.
Yeah, I would say a draw was probably a fair result.
It's one of the things I don't like about those XG tables where they do it over the full season, because that goes down as a definite Leeds win. I think you only have to beat them by about 0.3 or 0.4 for it to count it, which isn't enough, really. I think, but yeah, that's what they use. But yeah, I think, you know, it's definitely a good result. West Ham obviously ended up getting beat 3-2 by Villa in the end, which helped us. So we've got a 3-point, 3-point cushion we've got now.
Yeah.
Forest, 16 from 16.
Yeah, Forest couldn't do their part, but...
No, I haven't actually watched that. The only thing I've seen from that is Vicario played a ball into Archie Gray, which did put him under pressure, but he took an awful touch and just gave him a goal. Did it end up 3-0, that?
Is it 3 or 4?
I think it was 3. But yeah, not a great result for us. So, but there's only Forest 2 points above us, and then it's 4 points to Brentford and Fulham, and 5 to Bournemouth, who haven't won any of the last 6.
Yeah, yeah, they're not
and
very good.
Seem to be a completely different side to what they were 2 months ago. It's odd to see.
Yeah, it's weird. But yeah, we're keeping ourselves in contention with those teams above it. I know you want to put a bit distance between yourselves and the relegation zone, but if you can leapfrog someone else and put another body in the way as well, it's always nice. It'd be quite nice if we can catch up a little bit and maybe get ahead of a Brentford or someone like that.
Yeah, that's why it would have been so good to win that game, because it really would have dragged Brentford into it. Like, I mean, this weekend, Forest don't play until the Monday and they're away at Fulham. Which, you know, I suppose it's sort of good with them being on 18 and 20 points respectively. Either both or one of them is going to drop points.
Yeah.
So I suppose it's not bad from that perspective. And Fulham have been weird. I've watched a bit of them over the last couple of weeks because of who they've been playing and it being on telly. They're an odd team. I can't make my mind up about them. They seem to be 5% away from being a really good side. But also, some of the goals they concede, they look all over the shop sometimes.
Whereas I don't think they're particularly good. I just think they have enough quality players to who can create something. I mean, Harry Wilson did it. This was the one this week, and he's
been brilliant this season.
Yeah, because you've got two centre forwards there who aren't the most reliable.
Now, I must admit, the last couple of games I've watched them, Raul Jimenez hasn't looked up too much.
No, and
Muniz is injured again, isn't he?
So. Yeah, Muniz is injured. They've not seemed to have got that much out of Kevin, as I thought they were going to when I saw him play against us.
Yeah, that 20 minutes he had against Leeds, he looked like a world beater, didn't he?
Yeah. It's a more just scares of, God, he's fast. Look at him go. But they do still have some decent players there who can sort of drag you through a few moments. So,
I did just check. Brentford are winning at the weekend because they've got Wolves. But we have got Crystal Palace, who, having just said about how, you know, all these teams down there, Crystal Palace are 5th. Oliver Glasner's really good, isn't he?
Yeah, it was a very dicey first few months for him. I think it very much looked like he could get the sack when he, you know, his first few months at Palace. But since that season finished, so the kind of last season and this year, they're just a completely different team.
Yeah, because they didn't just win. It's not. I mean, obviously they won the FA Cup last season, which was brilliant. Just a team that's never won something before winning it. I'm pleased for them. I'm still annoyed that I literally predicted them to win the League Cup and then they won the FA Cup. But they're like last 12 games of the season, they won like 9 of them.
Hmm.
They were pretty much the form team in the league the second half of the season. And to then sell your best player and be fifth at coming up to Christmas.
Yeah.
It's some serious going.
I mean, and they've done this all while losing quality players. Obviously, kind of in the last few years, Eze went this year, Elise went the year before, Zaha left, and those were such big players for them. And all the while, Jean-Philippe Mateta just decides to go on a goal-scoring spree every now and again.
Yeah, I did, while I was doing some work earlier and I had the All-Stats Aren't We preview of the Palace game on in the background. He has the second most XG of anyone in the league, does Mateta. Obviously, Haaland's first.
Yeah.
But, like, he's underperforming it, but not by loads. I think it was, he had like 10.5 and he scored 7, if I remember rightly. But that just shows the number of chances he creates for himself and he gets into good positions. He's a real handful and it's the main reason why. Because they don't keep the ball much, so I think Farke will be tempted to go back to a 4. But the main reason I'd want to stay in the back three is because I think Mateta's good enough that you might need the extra body.
Yeah. It's such a weird squad, is this? Like, looking at their team, again, there is not so much the, I wouldn't have any of them in my team because they have plenty of quality players there, but there now isn't that sort of superstar. The one of the, like the three I mentioned earlier, there isn't any one of those in the team. It's just really well balanced, well drilled.
Yeah, you'd say the three at the moment are probably Mateta, Wharton, Gay.
Yeah, I mean, Gay's an
gone
interesting
at the end of the season.
Well, yeah, it was. I think it was amazing that he didn't end up going this summer, and Liverpool are probably regretting that now.
It's a really weird situation where it's sort of Brighton's fault.
If you're a Palace fan, isn't that always the case?
Yeah, well, no, but Brighton signed that. They signed that centre half on loan whose name escapes me. Igor.
Hmm.
Yeah, it was something like, but basically he was going to go to Palace. And if Palace got him, they'd have let Gay go. Because they'd have had another centre-back in. But instead, so Brighton ended up kind of screwing over Palace, which has meant they've kept this player that's made them way better.
It's another string to the, is it the M25 derby?
Well, yeah. Well, it's not a derby. Even the Palace, right, that's it. No, it's not a derby. It's a rivalry. There's a difference. you're right about how they don't seem to have that many superstars, but they've got loads of players that I just think are good.
I mean,
and some of them who have the odd day where they're a world beater. Like Ismail Assar, I won't say is a brilliant player. He's a good player. But some days, he's a brilliant player.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned Adam Wharton there, and I don't think he could have very easily been taking that step up from the Championship, being someone who ended up being a backup centre mid, features here and there. But he adapted to that role so quickly with them and is so important. And it does speak to the fact that, I mean, is he, what will he be, like 22, 23?
Something like that, yeah.
He's 21, and he has 3 England caps.
Yeah, he's
which he deserved those call-ups as well.
Yeah, I mean, they pretty much always play roughly a 3-4-3. So I would expect that to stay the same. So he'll be in midfield. I should check the Palace team because Glasner said no one's starting both games, didn't he?
Yeah.
So let's have a look. One, they are 1-0 up against Cups. Kristaps Uche after 5 minutes. Right. Well, KC, if I said to you it's number 44, number 60, number 8, 23, 24, 55, 42, 72, 21, 12 and 86.
Yeah.
You can probably get a rough idea of the sort of team they've got out tonight.
Yeah, they have certainly rested some players. And by some, I mean they've rested their team.
Yeah, literally the only one who you thought, looking at this team, the only ones that I thought might have started, Jefferson Lerma's playing as the central centre-back in the back three. There's a chance he could have started on Saturday, but he probably isn't now. And that Deveni, the Northern Irish kid, he's playing in middle of midfield, but he, with Munoz, their right wing back being out, he could have played there. So that pretty much guarantees it's going to be Nathaniel Klein.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at their bench now, and their bench is essentially Saturday starting lineup, isn't it? This is in number order, but Henderson, Mitchell, Lacroix, Gay, Nketiah, Pino, Mateta, Will Hughes, Adam Wharton, Chris Richards. That's pretty much going to be their team, isn't it?
Yeah. So it will, I mean, you would think, really, if they can play something like here, that they, other than maybe subbing Jefferson Lerma, and because, like, Uche is a decent money signing that's, I know that a lot of people rate quite highly, but he's not going to start because it's going to be Mateta. That Romain Esser on the wing that they got off Millwall looks a good player. And I suppose there's a world in which he could have. But it'll be like Pino and probably Nketiah because his Melissa's injured. Oh, no, he's not injured. Is he injured or is he AFCON? I don't know what the cutoff is.
They've all started going now, haven't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, the cutoff was like yesterday or today, wasn't it?
Yeah, I believe so.
So, yeah, I've just got Chick Dakuri has obviously been out for ages. That Chaddy Riad, who I think is the centre half. Munoz, who's been brilliant for him, so him being out is a big miss. And Daichi Kamada as well is out. So they are a little bit light in the two that play off Mateta, so it probably will be Nketiah playing in that role. Henderson in goal, Richards, Lacroix and Gaye as the back three, Tyreek Mitchell left back, Klein right back, and then Wharton and...
Will Hughes?
Yeah, Will Hughes. I was going to say, who would be the other centre mid? Yeah.
Everyone's favourite Watford player, Will Hughes.
So, yeah, that will almost, unless there's any more injuries or like that, that'll pretty much nailed on be their starting 11. If they're going to play a 3 with those 10s, I would much rather we stayed in a 3 as well. I can see the temptation because it is only 2 centre mids. So, if you go 4-2, if you go 4-2-3-1, you are not, it might not make you lose the battle, but I think that you'll get caught out by just their attacking numbers when they go long. From the press conference today, which I didn't watch, but the headline was no one's back. James has avoided surgery, but he'll still be out for 6-7 weeks.
he's definitely getting surgery in February, isn't he?
Yeah.
Like, come on. I've read this book before.
Yeah. Everyone's still out. Mecha. It didn't sound great. Maybe he'll be back for Sunderland, not 28th. Maybe he won't. So will we just be the same team?
Yeah, because like you say, I don't think there's a whole lot. Unless you are going to change the system, which I don't think he will. As much as shifting to the 4-2-3-1 at the back end of the last two games has made a difference. I think the back three has kind of secured us through most of those games.
Yeah. And he could be tempted to go straight 4-3-3, but I don't like that as much. I'd rather play the three.
Yeah, I'd rather stick with what we've been doing, which is, I do think it, probably a little bit unlucky from this is Nonto, because I think his two sub appearances have been very good so in these last two games.
Yeah, I would say that's probably the argument for going 4-3-3, is it's just Nonto for Beal. And you just go into...
But then do you have to find a place for Brendan Aaronson?
Well, I mean, no, but does Fark think that?
But yes.
I mean, Aaronson did fairly well when he came on.
Yeah, did very well against Liverpool.
Yeah, he seems a lot better when it's just come around and run your ass off for 20 minutes.
Yeah. In many ways, much less is expected of you apart from the running. And you're good at that. But yeah, I think for me, you stick with it. Palace so far haven't showed any signs of struggling, because I mean, we're looking at their team now. They still don't have a particularly big squad.
Not a large squad at all, especially considering European competition.
But if you have a number of talented children and one who is so unknown that if couldn't even get his name on Google at first. The number 73, which I quite liked. They put someone in. But no, that so far they've been excellent to watch. Like you say, I know it's a bit direct, but that's kind of the trend football is in at the moment.
It will look a bit weird if they play the team that we're expecting. It's a bit odd if you end up playing quite direct and your midfielders are Will Hughes and Adam Wharton. Because, that's not Wharton Straits. But I think that it will be direct, but not necessarily long.
Yeah.
They'll go into midfield and just go through. Because they are both really good on the ball. I mean, Wharton, especially Wharton's outstanding. I'm assuming that it would take a ridiculous bid for someone to get in, because if they know they're losing Gaye, I don't think that... if they lose Gaye and Wharton, then Oliver Glasner is going to tell them to stick it up their ass.
Yeah.
Because his contract's up at the end of the season, I think, and he's already turned down a couple.
Yeah, I mean... It's a tough one with them, because I know obviously they've had the, much like everyone else in the Premier League, they've had the American investment, but if I was them, your concern would be kind of, you look at Leicester, you look at Wolves, you look at Southampton, that yes, we've done well from selling some very good players, but it does only take one bad transfer window one bad summer to kind of undo that. But the problem is that no matter how far they go, unless you get much bigger investment, if someone comes along and offers 250 grand a week, you're just not going to compete with that if you're Palace, unfortunately.
No. But they are... The one thing with them is they're clearly so well coached and know this system that well that regardless of what players are in, they're going to be a tough beat for anyone, really.
Yeah. It's like I said, it's looking at them on paper. There's... I'd like to think play for player we can compete with them and make a game of it, but they are so good at what they do.
Yeah. I've just had a look, and Leeds are favourites for this.
How bad, what's their away record like? That's all I can think of.
I'm going to say, I don't think it's bad, but no, Leeds are 8-5, Palace are 7-4, so there's not much in it. 2.6 to 2.75. So it's more, really, if I'm being more like it, it's a bit of an... It's more of a pick'em, really. But it's still... I'm surprised at that. Draw no better is 4-5, 10-11 in Leeds' favour.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't think that their away form is that bad. In fact, I think it's fairly decent.
So I was just trying to think as to why you'd, because I don't.
Part of it is that Leeds is so good. Is part of it.
Hmm.
Like, it makes us very much too short for just about all home games.
Yeah.
Palace averaging, well, they are, they're fifth, 1.4. I don't know if this is up to date. Oh, this isn't up to date by the looks of it. The official Premier League one is not up to date, which is excellent.
Absolutely outstanding.
Yeah, just what you need to see.
Oh,
there we go. Oh, the away table, they have played 8 games, they have 16 points, 2 points per game, they are top.
Okay, sure.
So, I think Palace are overpriced for this game. And I think that statistically that is now backed up. However, you know, if we can get... So it's one of them. Anything from the game is a good result, but even when it's a good side, you're playing someone at home, you fancy us to have a chance at beating them.
Yeah, and with how we've played these last few games, I do feel a lot more confident that we will compete in this game. My concern is kind of off the back of the Brentford game, going back to chance creation a bit, but I don't know. I'm not as bad as I was at the start of the season when we weren't creating things from open play, but I would like to see us get a few more shots on target.
Yeah, you'd hope for us to create more, but I do think, so do you think there'll be anything different tactically? I think that against Brentford, we only had like 40-something% of the ball. Because we're at home, I think that'll be a bit higher. Other than that, I don't think there'll be much difference in the way the games are played between the two games. I don't think it'll be a great treat for the neutral again.
Yeah, live on Sky.
Yep.
Or TNT, Saturday, whichever one it is.
Saturday, 8 o'clock. What a shit kickoff time.
In case any of my employers are watching, I definitely won't be watching this while I'm working.
Nope, you can't watch this live.
No, I am working.
Now, it's a shit kickoff time. And the reason it's a shit kickoff time, and I know that transport to London is a lot better than to everywhere else, but if you come to this game as a Palace fan, if you're on public transport, what fucking time are you getting back?
Yeah. What train station are you sleeping at?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Now, like, for me personally, it's not the worst thing in the world because it's my birthday on Saturday and we're off out afterwards anyway.
Woo.
But I'd much rather it was 5:30 and then gone out from there. That'd have been a lot easier. I have had the predictions in from everyone. We didn't do too bad on the last one, actually, overall, because me and little Danny got points because we both had a 2-2 draw and it was 1-1. But for Palace at home, Connie 2-0 win, Alex 2-2, Benny 2-2, little Danny 3-1 win. What have you got, Casey?
I'm going to say we lose 2-1.
I mean, it's not unreasonable. Very good side with a lot of good players. I'm saying 2-2 again. I fancy us to get a point, but I think it'll be a weird game where there'll be so much. It'll be a lot of long stuff, but because they're not going to go high as often as Brentford did, I don't think our centre backs will deal with it quite as easily. Because like Igor Thiago in the Brentford game barely got a kick.
Yeah.
Whereas I think Mateta will do a much better job against our defenders than he did. But yeah, I think that will do. Oh, the 21s got beat by Dortmund like 3-0. I haven't even seen the highlights. There you go. That's the other thing that happened. So yeah, that I think will do us for episode 338, unless you've got to add, Casey.
No, I think we're all good.
Well, hopefully everyone around us can get beat. It's weirdly with Wolves playing Brentford. I'm sort of all right if Wolves win that one. We've already plenty cut adrift. They can win that one and keep them in there.
Or at least a point.
Yeah, just get somewhere. That'll do. So, I've been Jack. See ya.
I'm KC. Have a good one.
In a bit.